CKRZ is the only station that cares, supports, respects, and understands Six Nations and New Credit culture, tradition, and language. Support the station that supports you. Sonics 100.3 FM. Your station, your nation.
The comments heard on the following presentation are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect those of Sonics Incorporated or CKRZ FM. Well, thank you so much for making CKRZ a part of your day. We are joined by Julia Bumberry here at CKRZ, who is the Therapeutic Services Manager with Gunokwa Shaw. And she's actually going to give not just me, but perhaps you as well, if you're not familiar with some of the services that they offer. Tell us all about Gunokwa Shaw and what it is that they do. How you doing, Julia?
I'm doing good today, Al. Thank you.
So I've been asking everybody this when we have an opportunity to talk with them here at the radio station, but how is the new normal treating you?
Well, it's definitely something to adapt to, and quieter than in some moments, but it's a different pace. That's probably the best way to put it, just a very different pace to the work and to the life.
Yeah, this is definitely something that all of us young folks have never, ever experienced in our lifetimes.
For sure.
Yeah, that's definitely given me, anyway, a great appreciation for some of the things that we did before all of this stuff came down.
Yeah, I have to agree with that, Al. I'm very grateful every day for what I am, my health, being able to work, being able to, you know, function well with my family yet, with all the guidelines and restrictions and things in place. So I'm very grateful right now.
Yes, and we got to thank our lucky stars too for all of the hard work that our frontline workers have been doing every single day to keep us going.
Definitely.
Yes.
I too want to say that to all our frontline, all our essential workers who are out there continuing to do the work and provide service to our community. You know, particular to our Gunokwa Shaw staff. You know, we have staff here that are coming in and providing service in our residential places and our long-term counseling places as well. So they're coming in still every day and providing service. And, you know, I really want to give them kudos for being able to maintain their wellness to be able to provide the community the services that Gunokwa Shaw offers.
Yeah, well, that's something else too, Julia, that maybe many people may not be aware that you too are declared an essential service.
Yes, we are shelters, services for providing services to those who are experiencing domestic violence, intimate partner violence, sexual violence. Those are all considered essential services.
So tell us, Julia, what is Gunokwa Shaw?
Okay, I'm going to start with first, I wanted to kind of take away a, I think it's a label that's been put on Gunokwa Shaw for many years, and and maybe it's an easy reference, but a lot of times people refer to Gunokwa Shaw as the women's shelter. And I wanted to say that, yes, we do have a shelter that provides service for safety and protection, but we're not a women's shelter. So Gunokwa Shaw is the service in Six Nations, providing services in regards to family assault support services. And we have many layers of services, and I'll get into that. But I really wanted to say that we are not a women's shelter. We do, again, like I said, have a shelter for safety and protection. And, you know, something that's different for our shelter is that we also provide safety and protection for males as well in our shelter who are from our community, our Six Nations members. Sometimes they, too, may come in by themselves because they're experiencing family violence or intimate partner violence or even sexual violence. And sometimes they come with their children. So our service is not just geared or designated to women. So I wanted to really clearly put that out there, that it's available to everyone.
Ah, wow.
That fit within our mandate in regards to those areas of family, intimate, and sexual violence.
Wow, that's good to know.
Yeah, I think people really hear women's shelter, and that's, they kind of restrict it to just that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's important that people know that we're a service that is open to everyone.
Now, to your knowledge, Julie, was Pinoquashaw originally set up with that intention?
Yes, it was, actually.
Just for women?
We've been in the community now for 32 years. I believe that's our, 32 years. This May will, or this September. Yeah, May, sorry. But it's 32 years this year that we have been in the community providing service. It started with community counseling, and then when the shelter did open, it did originally start at, designated toward for women and their children for regarding family violence. Over the years, though, and since its inception, actually, we provided service to males who are also experiencing family violence. So as we evolved, so did our services.
So tell us, why might community members access Pinoquashaw's services during this pandemic?
Well, there's lots of reasons, Al, and I think, first of all, to look at some of the dynamics that are occurring in our community pre-pandemic. So we know that there is family violence, intimate partner violence, and sexual violence that occurs in our territory, and for those who live outside our territory. So we know that it definitely happens, and people are needing support in regards to healing from those areas, and also seeking out safety and protection. And it could be a matter for their life, right? It's that serious. So when you look at the pandemic and what's occurring and the stressors that occur with that, those increase those dynamics that might be already happening. So, for example, one of the common things that happen in a unhealthy relationship, and this relationship, again, I want to just define, first of all, that intimate partner violence, again, as it says, with an intimate partner, your husband, wife, you know, common law, whatever, however you determine what an intimate partner is, that is one form. And the other form, when I talk about family violence, one of the things that we have noted, because we are very much connected to our extended family, and sometimes there is behavior that occurs within the family situation as well. And that, you know, that plays a heavy matter for people, and they're still feeling abused. It might be emotional. It could be physical. There's many forms of abuse. So for the family, too, from their extension of, and again, it could be anyone, whoever they define as their extended family, they could also be experiencing abuse from them. And so it's more than just partner violence that this pandemic it could be influencing. So let's say, for example, during this pandemic, people are already experiencing some levels of unhealthy power and control in this relationship, whether it's a family, a partner. And what could happen next is, say, for example, because of the isolating piece, that's a big piece, is people having to self-isolate, really distance themselves from going anywhere, doing anything, and that can really trigger that sense of unhealthy power and control, because isolation is one of the ways that that occurs in an unhealthy relationship, or that's one of the behaviors that are acted out in that power control dynamic. And so in isolation, maybe there could be feeling senses of that they have no escape. They don't even get a break, right? They don't get a break from the behavior. They can't go to their usual safe place for a break, or maybe they can't go to their counseling appointments. They're really isolating with the person who may be acting out the abusive behavior. And so that's a big one for people reaching out. And just the normal frustrations, I think, that are, you know, our new norm. You know, you use that word about the new norm, and that's also occurring in the dynamics is, you know, if you look at the new norm here, it's like, okay, you can't go to the doctors even. A lot of doctors, you're phoning for a consultation, and, you know, is that a reason to also not be able to be seen or ask for help? They could be also looking at, like, sharing information that's not correct about the pandemic or about this virus as a way of controlling people. They might use that as a manipulation tool to keep them, again, even more isolated. The social distancing and the physical distancing, you know, again, that's another reason to not go and be with your family, and, you know, you're not allowed to go be with your family, and that dynamic could already be happening in that relationship pre-pandemic because of the cycle of violence and the power and control dynamics. So, again, there's another layer, and then it's justified by saying, you know what, the safety guidelines are saying this, and yes, it is very important for us to do our physical distancing and for our health and well-being right now. However, it may be used as a control tactic.